Hello and welcome to Pick Yourself, the podcast that helps you build and grow your electronic music career. You will learn the strategies, mindset, tactics, and tools that you can implement today to break through tomorrow. My name is Philip. Now let's get right into today's episode. Hello again and welcome to the Pick Yourself podcast. I'm your host, Philip, and I'm super stoked to have you here with me again. This week's episode is something that a lot of people have been asking for. We're tackling the question, how to stand out as an upcoming artist. And this is probably one of the biggest struggles that we're facing as upcoming artists, because in this digital day and age, we're facing endless, unlimited competition. For sure, hundreds of thousands of new songs are being created and released and distributed every single day across the globe on several platforms that we all use, from Spotify to SoundCloud to iTunes to whatever your favorite way of consumption is these days. YouTube is also a big one. I mean, if you only follow one of the bigger channels there that distribute the kind of music that you're into, you will find out how many great releases are coming out every single day. And since this is such a crucial issue that we just have to deal with as upcoming artists, I've decided to create an episode specifically for that issue. So in this podcast episode, you are going to learn the three strategies that will help you stand out as an upcoming artist. But before I come to that, to these three strategies, I will show you something that I call the copycat trap that some of us fall into. So what is the copycat trap? Well, we basically all have our favorite artists and labels in the electronic music scene, and we look up to our heroes and heroines and their production style. But if we're brutally honest with ourselves, we sometimes go a bit too far, and this admiration basically turns into something that I call the copycat trap. And there are two different versions of the copycat trap. The first one is based on a false assumption. And this assumption is, if I'm producing music in the style of artist X or label Y, then I might become just as successful as them. So let's have a closer look at that. It means that we adapt our production style and our composition and arrangement style to something that already exists because we're hoping that this will help us break through. This will help us crack the code and be more successful with our music because we've seen it work with other people and what they're doing. Now I can give you a very specific example for this. A lot of the artists that I've worked with in the studio try to somehow produce techno music in the style of Drumcode. Drumcode is a label that features a lot of very famous artists, founded by Adam Beyer. And this label has a very specific, significant style of music production. And even the arrangement and the composition of the tracks across all artists has some certain signature sound. Well, since this label, Drumcode, has been very, very successful in the past and has a lot of extremely high-profile artists and producers on their roster, that basically influences a lot of upcoming producers and lets them think that if they produce music in that style of this label and its artists, that this is basically one way of gaining success in the industry. But here's the problem with it. Nobody is waiting for a shittier version of the original. So nobody wants another Drumcode artist that is basically just a copy of the one before. And this label, whether you like its sound or not, but they meticulously pick artists for a certain style and for their production craft that is kind of in line of what the label does. And yes, if you are extremely lucky, then one day in the far future, you might end up there as well. But honestly, I wouldn't count on that because who knows what this label is going to do in the future? Who knows if that's still the kind of production chops that are in demand somewhere in the future. So this version of the copycat trap comes in many different ways. Some people try to mimic the Berghain Ostgut tone sound. Others go for different styles, but the general principle is you mimic your heroes and you hope that this will basically help you be more successful. But let's now come to the second version of the copycat trap, and this one is even more tricky because you're subconsciously copying your favorite artists. And why is that so tricky? Well, it's a problem because if you're not aware of the problem in the first place, then there's no way to change your production style and to find your unique artistic voice. So you're being under the influence, production-wise, composition-wise, of your heroes without even noticing it. So let's assume you're producing techno in a certain style, and you've been heavily listening to one or two artists in a very specific sub-niche of that genre. Well, guess what? What happens is that you're going to the studio, you start producing tracks, and since you've been listening so much to what they've done, you automatically produce songs that come out in a very, very similar way. You might even, with a little bit of distance, you might even notice that your tracks use the same chord progressions or the same melody lines as your heroes do. And that can happen completely subconsciously for quite a while until somebody external tells you that this has happened. So all in all, I believe that copycats will definitely fail in the long run, even though it seems like a good option for short-term benefits. So styles and subgenres, they come and go in waves, and sometimes it feels like there's a flood of artists who sound exactly the same because the market, aka listeners and other DJs, is calling for that sound right now. And interestingly, some of these copycats get extremely successful during such a wave. We've seen that happening in the recent future with the revival of acid house and acid techno. This has been basically a wave of people sounding exactly one like another. And this is problematic because now we see a decline happening and they're basically known for a certain style or a certain sound that is going out of fashion, and nobody's interested in having hundreds of artists who sound the same in that little subgenre. So this is where the fallacy begins. You think that producing music in that very style, you have a chance to reach a certain level of success, and you might even get there, but only for a couple of months maximum. The problem is that you're completely dependent on the sound being fashionable right now. And moreover, there's a huge portion of luck involved because there are enough other good copycats out there who are desperately trying to ride this wave. So if your goal is to stand out as an upcoming artist, you should try to avoid the copycat trap as much as possible and aim for your own sonic identity. And the problem here is that uniqueness is a very, very vague concept and it's often misunderstood as well. And honestly, I don't believe that any type of music, any song, any genre, any artist out there is truly unique or truly original. Because we're in the end all standing on the shoulders of giants and we're learning from the past, we're adapting things that have already been done, we're mixing and matching things that belong together if we think they should. So even if an artist completely reinvents a genre or creates its own little subgenre by mixing two aspects that haven't been mixed before, that still cites what has already been created before. So if true uniqueness and originality don't really exist, what can you still do as an upcoming artist to stand out from the pack? Now let's dive into the three strategies that I found very helpful overall. So standout strategy number one is find your signature sound and go all in on it. So some artists have definitely their own sonic identity and you can instantly tell when one of their songs is playing. So great examples for this are Trente Möller, Stefan Botzin, Taylor Vass, Moderat, but also many more. And what separates them from many other artists? Well, they've all found a way to write and produce music that represents their sonic identity in every single song. This doesn't mean that the songs all sound the same. It basically means that even if the songs are very different from each other, they still carry the same sonic fingerprint. There is something distinctive within these songs that makes it clear that they're composed and written and arranged and produced by that artist. So I must admit, I haven't come up yet with a recipe on how to get there 100%. I mean, if I had, I would probably already be making millions out of it. But I have a very good idea, at least, of what the key ingredients are of that recipe. So one of that is deliberate experimentation. Now, what do I mean by deliberate experimentation? It basically means that you have to invest time and probably other resources in researching a large variety of composition and production techniques. And you try them out over and over again, and you see what sticks, you see what deeply resonates with you on an emotional level. And the fundamental idea of that is that you find something authentic, something that really works well with your personality, with your character. And it's often not the easiest way to do this kind of experimentation, because some techniques are hard to learn, some things aren't that easy to obtain. But you could go into something like experimenting with field recordings, but also learning about very different styles of synthesizing sounds. You could go into playing real instruments, into maybe starting to experiment with very odd and weird instruments that you find all over the globe. That could be something. You could play around with contact microphones and hydrophones and whatever weird thing you come up with. Just be brave and experiment and really throw yourself into new techniques and see what actually resonates with you on a deep level. The next key ingredient for finding your signature sound is using citation instead of copying. And that means, so you have to gain a certain level of awareness about what your influences are and how you want to use them in an original way. So instead of copying, you're citing certain sounds and styles and you're integrating them into your compositions very purposefully. And that helps you prevent the second version of the copycat trap, the one that's basically happening subconsciously. So to give you an example, let's say you want to create a breakbeat techno track. Now, the obvious way of doing it, and the simple one that most people would probably end up doing, is to just go and Google breakbeat techno samples. You dig out the first library, try to find some free ones even, and you download them, throw them into your session, and there you have your breakbeat. Well, the more unique way of doing it is going to a thrift shop, buying some kind of strange obscure funk vinyl record, and starting to sample your own breakbeats, then slicing them up in different ways, mashing them up, rearranging them in a unique way, yeah, and then importing them in your session and playing around with that. And as you notice, this is a very different way of doing things. This is so much more purposeful, so much more respectful also to the ones that have been playing these kinds of beats before. And if you don't want to go into too much of legal detail and sampling problems and whatever is involved in that, it's also a bit different from country to country. But if you want to do still something unique without sampling old music, you could hire a drummer or get a friend who plays drums really well to play the kinds of funk beats that you're interested in. You record them properly in some studio, or at least in a little home basement with a couple of microphones. And then you slice them up, you rearrange them, you throw them in your session. And that already is a way more unique style of doing things. Now, the last aspect of finding your signature sound is consistency. So once you've identified key components of your signature sound, you have to go all in and completely own it. It's a bit like your favorite spice that you add to every dish that you're cooking. And what makes this consistency so important? Well, only repetition is what actually helps your audience and your fans understand what your sound is all about. Only this consistency, even if the songs are different, is what reminds them of you, what actually brings home the whole point of what you wanted to create in the first place in terms of a signature sound. I've already mentioned Stefan Botzin as one of the best examples for somebody who has a signature sound. And if you listen to his album Powers of 10, which got huge attention across the whole electronic music scene, if you listen to that album, it's so obvious that there's a special ingredient that can be noticed in every single song. It holds everything together and it makes it so completely distinctive that you instantly notice if one of those songs is playing in a club. So a typical signature sound can be a certain synth patch combined with an interesting playing style, but it can also be certain types of chord progressions that you're using over and over again, and for example the blend of vintage and new production styles together with that. But overall, I've noticed that there are usually different combinations of things that come together that make up a signature sound. So only doing one thing is probably not special enough. You have to combine it with something else to actually create something that stands out. And to kind of validate my thoughts, I've asked around a little bit in my circle of respected artists and peers in the music business to see what they have to offer on that topic. And Christopher, aka Kamikaze Space Program, for example, has said, and I'm citing here directly, "I would say, being totally honest, wearing your influences on your sleeve, that's your unique musical DNA. Also limiting yourself, set some ground rules, for example, only making drums from Foley, or never quantizing and so on. Repeating habits until it becomes habitual in your sound." That's what Christopher Jarman, aka Kamikaze Space Program, said on that matter. And that's quite interesting because he basically confirms the topics of deliberate experimentation, citation instead of copying, and the consistency of everything. That's pretty obvious that these topics seem to play a role, and I didn't show this to him before. I wasn't looking for a citation that basically confirms my research. Okay, so that was it for standout strategy number one. Let's move to the second one. And the second standout strategy is reinvent yourself over and over again. Now that might sound a bit strange right now, because I've been talking a lot about consistency before. And yes, this second strategy is basically a very different approach from the first one, so it's hard to use them together. You basically pick one or the other, or at least for a certain period in your artistic career, you pick the one strategy and then you can shift. But it's not something that you can do at the same time. So some artists do the same thing over and over again over a long period of time. They're dedicating their craft towards refining the sound they're known for. There's always a little bit of reinvention going on, but it's basically the same thing, and they try to go all in on it and they try to own it as much as possible because it's their playing field. But there are other ones that are constantly reinventing themselves. With every big album or every EP, they try to infuse something completely fresh and new into their sound. And yes, you can also become known for that. You can become unique as an artist by regularly reinventing yourself. But that's a pretty bold move to do, so don't think that this is an easier way of doing things. So what does this reinvention mean for your artistic career? It basically means that you stand for creative experimentation. So your audience expects that you change every year, and you are the audacious character in their lives. You are the brave, the bold one that actually moves on, the one who dares to take the next step first before everybody else and taps into a new genre or merges two existing ones. And yes, you might be losing some of your fans with every new release because they've expected something else, but at the same time, you're also clearly winning new fans. So good examples for this strategy are artists like Aphex Twin or Sirius Mo, because there you have to expect the unexpected. They've been changing so much over the course of their career from album to album, and one can argue that these producers still have a signature sound, that's clear, but to me the constant reinvention that they present is what truly makes them unique. Now with the reinvention strategy, there is a pretty important pitfall that people might not notice from the beginning. You have to be very, very brave. You have to do bold moves and really change something. So it's not enough to just write new songs that are probably a little bit different from the ones that you've written before. It means that you have to infuse something into your music that is obvious to every listener, that this hasn't been there before. So if you feel attracted by this strategy, then please make sure to do these bold moves to actually change your music big time from release to release. Okay, so now we're coming to standout strategy number 3. And this is represent something bigger than yourself. So what do I mean by that? It sounds a little bit abstract at first, but it's actually quite clear. You stand for something, a cause or a belief, that is fueling everything you do artistically. Even if your music isn't especially unique, people still recognize you on some level for something. It's not the most common strategy in electronic music, but I still see it from time to time. And the topics can range from, I don't know, environmental activism to gender politics to fighting for autonomous creative spaces in society. The really important thing here is that your cause or your belief has to be something that you're truly standing behind. It has to be 100% authentic. So it doesn't make sense to make up something that looks nice on your page or sounds nice in theory, but you're not actually committing to that 100%. And believe me, people will notice if you're authentic on that matter or not. People sniff it when you're lying about something, when you're pretending or faking your way and basically jumping on the bandwagon of something that's fashionable right now. So a good example for this is Sportbrigade Sparwasser, which is a DJ and producer duo that's among my long-term studio clients. And they are personally deeply involved in socio-political matters, and they support their causes, they are aligned with certain beliefs, and it's not like they're shouting every day about a certain opinion or anything. They don't put it on a banner and impose it on people. But it just means that they're using music as a vehicle to create a safe space where things like race, gender, status, and other things don't matter anymore. And they're not alone. Like, there are more artists that align with these kinds of beliefs. And their long-term fans, they know what they're about. They also come to their shows because this is something that matters to them. And the fans can basically be sure that this band will never play a mainstream festival slot that just promotes itself with sexist advertisement, for example. So these were my 3 standout strategies. The first one was find your signature sound and go all in on it. The second one was reinvent yourself over and over again. And the third one was represent something bigger than yourself. So how can you put this episode into action? So I've shown you the 3 strategies that help you avoid the copycat trap, and you now have to choose what works for you and what combination of the 3 strategies might be a good fit. In order to help you get started, here are my 3 action steps that you can take. So the first action step is analyze your latest productions. And with analyzing your latest productions, I mean be brutally honest with yourself. Have you fallen into the copycat trap? So a good way to do this is you list your hero artists and your hero labels, and you just double check how close your music truly is to theirs. And sometimes it's a good idea to involve somebody else. So if you have some kind of peer partner, some kind of music buddy that is actually giving you an honest opinion, let them double check you and give you the hard truth, if that's the case. You can also ask yourself if you have been riding a specific wave that's been fashionable lately. And which one was it, and how much have you stuck with the production cliches of that subgenre? Then you can move on to which aspects of your music are actually unique and original. And again, the best way to do this is to ask people who are giving you their honest opinion whether they really perceive that originality in your productions or not, and what advice they maybe have on refining your unique artistic voice. Now let's come to the second action step, and that is discover your unique creative potential. And how do you do this? Well, First of all, you start a phase of experimentation right now where you try to compose or produce with completely new techniques that you haven't been doing before. And you start merging them with what you already know, and you break free from what your heroes and heroines are doing. It's really important to let go of certain things and, yeah, to break the boundaries that you've created for yourself. And the easiest thing to do this is to not think about a release at all. So you're just producing for the sake of producing, and even if you don't show it to anybody in the world, it's still worth doing that. It's still worth digging into something that you haven't been doing before. And this phase could, for example, be a 30-day challenge. So for the next 30 days, you commit to doing creative experimentation for 2 hours every single day. This is a good way to get started with something like this. And then if something starts to resonate with you very deeply, then that's a very good sign that you've found something worth digging deeper. And then you can start going all in on this certain style and this technique, and you try to add as much personal character to that as possible. Now, for some of you, this will not be an option. You will find out after this experimentation phase that you don't want to hone in and go all in on one certain thing, because you're probably more interested in the whole reinvention thing. And that's totally okay, but you have to decide for yourself if you want to build that consistency of one signature sound, or if you're interested in truly reinventing yourself. And both are hard to do, but please be extreme with it so people actually notice what's special about you. They can notice that you're extremely consistent in your sound and you're going all in on one thing, or they can notice that you're absolutely boldly reinventing yourself every time you put something out. But that has to be a dramatic move. If you're too vague, then you will be perceived just as every other mediocre artist out there. And now the third and final action step: find out whether there's something bigger that's driving you. So first of all, you can ask yourself if there is a cause or a belief that is incredibly important to you in your life. There has to be something that already exists. You shouldn't invent that. But if you have something, then write it down and include why this matters so much to you and what it means for your life. Then you can go deeper and find out if you can relate this aspect to your music somehow. And you should look for an organic connection, something that doesn't feel forced. Because if it feels forced, then you should probably just leave it out of your whole music career. And if you have found something that is a natural fit between your cause and your music, then you can start putting it out there and include it in your artist bio, in interviews, sometimes talk about it. But in my opinion, you shouldn't overstress it. So even if that is really important to you and it means a lot, you shouldn't constantly shove it up people's faces, because it's, yeah, it can get annoying pretty fast and you don't want to scare off your audience. So it should be obvious on the one hand and really visible and noticeable that you authentically believe in that and that you care about this thing. But at the same time, please don't overstress it. Please don't be the person that constantly tries to educate people on the same thing. So that is it for this episode. I hope you got something out of it. And in order to help you implement some of the things that you're learning here, I've put together a free resource called The 7 Strategies of Highly Successful Electronic Music Producers. And you can get that free resource at pickyourselfpodcast.com/free. Once again, pickyourselfpodcast.com/free. This is where you get a completely free guide as a PDF. And I hope it helps you get to the next level. So to wrap this episode up, I truly want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sticking with me, for listening to the show. It really means a lot, and I would love to create more episodes that go exactly into what you guys care about, you guys and girls. So please leave comments on the blog posts at pickyourselfpodcast.com, because I read everything, and I will definitely make episodes on the topics that resonate with you, that make sense to discuss. you have enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app. And you can find show notes to this episode in form of a detailed blog post at pickyourselfpodcast.com. Until then, see you next time.